Good evening, human beings that are in Little Saigon, and those that are not in Little Saigon. It's October the 10th, 2019. And it's great. It's Thursday night. Tomorrow's Friday. So if you've been working really, really hard this week, working to get that project done, oh, sure, Phil and Teresa didn't help out. But Phil and Teresa will suffer their own regret. Yeah, I'm not going to talk about that. I am still a little sick. I don't know what disease I have, but as I pointed out, I think yesterday, if I didn't drink, I would probably get better in a day. But if I drink, it takes a little longer. Right now, I'm just drinking coffee. But yeah, you know, drinking's not good for your immune system. That's a true statement. So I don't know why I do this to myself. I think maybe because I'm playing fast and loose with life after 50. When you're 50 years old, when you're 50 years old, what are you waiting for? Oh, you're going to go heliskiing in 2032? Heliskiing on Olympus Mons on Mars in 2032 with Elon Musk. I'm not waiting for that. I simply am trying to survive like most of you. Yeah, I don't know what you guys think, but I'm not feeling too great. But truly, if I'm not feeling that great, it's probably because, A, I was exposed to one of the nasty germs that, yeah, tends to propagate in 2019 in Little Saigon. And that's A, and B, I haven't really been taking very good care of myself. And that's my own fucking fault. So if I have to spend 2 or 3 days with a sore throat, as horrible as that is, as monstrous as it is to have a stuffed up nasal cavity and a sore throat, I think I can deal with it. I think I can, you know, sally forth, as they say. If I compare this to, like, my sister dying of cancer, or my mom, or my dad, I'd say I'm doing pretty well right now. And that's kind of how I compare things these days. After watching my sister die of cancer in 2012, I came to realize that, well, you know, maybe, no matter how much money you spend on trying to keep somebody alive, and again, I'm not saying you shouldn't, like, you know, fight for your life, that's your fucking business. But it does seem at a certain point that the whole thing is pointless. I don't know. I mean, if I found out I had cancer, would I get the chemo? Would I get the radiation? Would I get the surgery? Ask me if, other than seeing Dr. Grunkus every Thursday night, ask me if I enjoy being poisoned or burned or stabbed. Now, Dr. Grunkus, he uses these techniques, but he's not really licensed, and he doesn't really stake any claims to being a real professional, not in that sense. So no, I don't need the medieval techniques of radiation and poison and stabbing. I think that, you know, other people can do it. And if it's helping you, if it's helping you to be irradiated and stabbed and poisoned to deal with your cancer, that's your fucking business. But I kind of suspect the whole cancer industry, and I call it an industry, it really is a kind of cartel. The whole cancer cartel is about covering up the fact that we're poisoning ourselves. That we have been poisoning ourselves, that, yeah, there are probably some people who are directly responsible, but we've all kind of gone along with it. And then we're surprised by the diabetes and the cancer and the autism and the dementia. We're surprised by all the people killing themselves by overdosing on heroin. But the reality is we're doing this to ourselves. That's the truth. Just like Uncle Dan. You know, I'm sick right now, boo-hoo. Lots of people get sick. Anyways, this hour of the Little Saigon Report on October the 10th, 2019, is brought to you by Wong's Old Style Panda Express in Fremont. When I was a kid, my father would load up the van, the Ford Econoline van, with all of us kids. And we would head down to Wong's on Jackson Street. Wong's has been in business as Old Style Original Panda Express since 1963. It was founded by a former general of the Nationalist Chinese Army under Chiang Kai-shek. Of course, many of you know of Panda Express. You know, you go to Panda Express when you go to the mall food court. This is not Wong's old style. This is the corporate spin-off. At Wong's old style Panda Express, two things are still true. You get to pick your own baby panda. And you get it cooked real, real fast. If you head on down to Wong's Old Style Panda Express tomorrow night, you'll get the Friday special. You'll get to go to their little antique, ticky-tacky, fucking bamboo forest and pick your own pandas yourself. Of course, you really don't know how to enjoy a panda unless you've looked in its eyes. You haven't really savored the succulence of panda meat until you've gone into Wong's little bamboo garden and picked your own fucking panda. So go on down to Wong's Old Style Panda Express. This is not the corporate Panda Express that you know of. This is the original, founded by a general in Chiang Kai-shek's army. Two things are still true at Old Style Panda Express. You get to pick your own panda, and they cook it god-awful fast. So come on down, Friday night special, two pandas, $25.99. Feed the whole family. Have leftovers for game day. Now you can say, Dan, isn't it cruel to eat original panda at Wong's? No, no, no. Not that cruel, really. You don't know the full story. In 1973, one of the undersecretaries of Mao Zedong declared that the panda would be protected from all of the evil Western capitalist running dogs. So the original founders of Panda Express LLC, Formosa, the original founders of Panda Express LLC Formosa decided that if they couldn't have Chinese panda, well, there was one animal nobody knew about. Admiral Byrd had kept it a secret. Everybody knows people need their protein. Unbeknownst to most people, there was a polar bear. Because polar simply means of the pole. It doesn't tell you which pole. Every pole dancer knows this. And so does every hooker. All that polar means is of the pole. During one of Admiral Byrd's expeditions to the Antarctica, the continent to the south, the great white south beyond the ancient seas, beyond Tierra del Fuego. There in Antarctica, there was a polar bear, the Antarctic polar bear. It would eat penguins. It would eat people from Chile and Argentina. They were very troubled by this bear. It would swim from Antarctica to Tierra del Fuego and ravage the countryside. So the people of Chile and Argentina made a secret treaty with China back in 1974. Kissinger was there. Yeah. And the treaty was to allow Panda Express to exploit the Antarctic polar bear while most people still didn't even know it existed. And what better animal to kill than an animal that nobody knows exists? So there were roughly 20,000 Antarctic polar bear in 1974. By the time Store 600 opened in Dubuque of Panda Express in 1998, all of the Antarctic polar bear were destroyed. None were left. But Wong's always had its own supply of panda. So head on down to Wong's. Head on down to Wong's and have yourself a little Panda Express. They got the Kung Pao Panda. They got the Chicken Sow Young Panda. They got Sweet and Sour Fried Panda. They even have Sizzling Peking Panda, which I love because the meat just flakes off the bone. And as with every meal at Old Wong's Old Style Panda Express, you are given the head of your pandas with their eyes staring at you in a little white paper bag to take home to your French bulldog. Yeah. First topic, the impeachment of Donald Trump. Now, folks, full disclosure, if you don't already know, I am an anarchist, which means I don't give two fucks about most of your World Wrestling Federation, excuse me, electoral politics bullshit. I think it's all fake. Do I know which parts might be kind of real? Well, the thing is, if it's fundamentally fake, it doesn't really matter if some of the parts seem real. Like, if some of the parts, like, oh, well, Dan, I volunteered for Trump in 2016. I got to shake his hand. I volunteered for Hillary in 2016. I got to give her a hug. Okay, I'm sure that that had powerful meaning to you. But it doesn't prove the system works. All it proves is you got a shake of a hand. You got a fucking hug. Did you get a reach around? Did somebody slip you a little money in the back pocket like Biden usually does when he grabs your junk? This most recent reason to impeach Trump has to do with some nefarious phone call that Donald Trump, the president of the United States, made to the president of the Ukraine or the prime minister or some high-level guy named Zelensky in the Ukraine, and he made a call on July the 25th, and he said, hey, Zelensky, baby, I got this guy by the name of Hunter Biden, and he's kind of greasy. He's kind of grimy. He's hugely sleazy. And so Zelensky says, yeah, man, I've heard of this Hunter Biden. He gets all this money from Burisma. There's some type of a shady shell company for people that want to frack the fuck out of the Ukraine for whatever's left of oil there or natural fucking gas. Yeah, so, buddy, could you just investigate this Hunter Biden? Why, sure, buddy. What are good leaders of crocodile kingdoms to do? And all the shock and all the dismay and all the confusion over this is so fucking ridiculous. I mean, a few weeks ago, a United States drone strike killed 40 farmers. Did you guys give a shit about that? A man by the name of Epstein, a few weeks ago, was killed under federal witness protection in a prison. The cameras watching his cell magically stop working. Well, gee, that technology's really magically great. Like I said, folks, when you're faced with facts that do not align, at least you know one thing, somebody's a lion. Yeah, so anyways, I don't know what's going on with this. I kind of think that this, you know, I said this in 2016, and I'll say it again, because then people who listen to me on SoundCloud or who follow me on Minds.com until the crypto bullies find me and run me to another social media platform, which by that time I think I'll be running from cannibal gangs, so I won't really give a shit. I'll admit to you guys something. Here's a reason why I don't hate Donald Trump. Because most of his enemies, I'm not saying all of his enemies, most of his enemies are really shitty people. Like terribly scummy people. George Soros, Hillary Clinton, These are terribly shitty people. A lot of these people would go to Epstein's Island and fuck little girls. A lot of the people, if you're a Democrat, a lot of the people who run your party worked with Epstein. They worked with Israeli intelligence. They did a lot of shady shit, and they fucked little boys and girls. And frankly, that applies to Republicans too, probably. I'll also say this too. Let's say for the sake of argument that Trump is actually the president of the United States and he actually has power. I don't think any of that is true, but let's pretend for a moment that he does have power. This could actually be a pretty cagey play on his part. Pretty smart play. It seems like he wants Nancy Pelosi to impeach him. It seems like he wants her to go all the way. And you could say, well, isn't that kind of dangerous? Well, I don't know. After Bill Clinton was impeached, I'm not really sure it means much. And given the terrible shit that happened under Bush and Obama, given the terribly unconstitutional fucking shit that's happened since 9/11, I'm not sure impeachment means much at this point. It looks like theater. But it's legal theater. And the crocodile loves his or her crocodile rules. I mean, not all the time, but certainly in public. And legal theater is fun. And one of the features of legal theater, at least for those of you who are still powerful, is that you have a right to face your accuser, and you have a right to seek disclosure of evidence. Which means that no one has a right to file charges against you that are secret. With secret evidence, with secret witnesses. That's not cool. In Western jurisprudence tradition, you have a right to face your accuser. So I kind of think this whole thing may be cagey as fuck. In fact, this July 25th call that this random dude happened to hear, that could have been a fucking trap. The whole thing, I don't know how any of it could be considered illegal. To believe that Donald Trump is the first president to make a call to another head of state and say, hey, I think you've got a criminal in your midst. No, that's not the first time that's happened. Really, really sorry, folks, if you believe that. It's not. Now, am I going to go and list all the fucking times in American history when shit like that's happened? No, I'm not. I'm going to leave it to you to research this. But this is not some radically strange thing to do. In fact, you could argue it's a polite fucking thing to do to say, hey, dude, I think there's somebody ripping you off. Now, the fact that Joe Biden is running against him, who gives a fuck? Really? Get real. If those were issues, then those issues would have sent Obama to jail. He did all kinds of shady shit. So did Bush. Nobody gives a fuck. But I will tell you this. Because Trump will have the right of legal disclosure, this means he'll be able to see a lot of stuff. And it's not just see stuff, but make it public. Yeah, if you're going to impeach the President of the United States, all the fucking evidence has to be public. Because guess who the plaintiff is if you believe in this crocodile democracy slash republic bullshit? The plaintiff is the American people. We are the plaintiff. We are the prosecutor. We are ultimately every side, and we have a right to see the evidence too. It might be the case that the president is on trial, but the actual party, that is the injured party in this, the prosecutorial party, is the American people. So yeah, it's not just that he has a right to see the evidence. Everybody has a right to see the evidence. A lot of stinky shit would come out if this actually became a thing. This is why I'm not convinced this is a thing yet. This is why I still think this is just more theater. Because if the actual truth started coming out about all the nefarious bullshit that our government does, I think we would have a civil war. I mean, I think that there's a limit. I think Americans are asleep. I think they've convinced themselves that this make-believe reality is going to last forever. It's not. Okay, something will give. if you ask me, there are a number of things that could be the first fucking, you know, chips to fall or the first freaking canaries in the coal mine. But maybe the most obvious one, given this chemically nucleated winter storm that's about to hit the Midwest, maybe the most obvious one are food shortages. Oh, Dan, didn't Norman Borlaug, with his green revolution of pouring oil on land and basically toxifying the groundwater for centuries and chewing up, you know, topsoil as if it's made in topsoil heaven, didn't he fix it all? Well, no, yeah, he brought another 5 or 6 billion people into existence along with Keynesian economics. But really, it was more like being set up for failure. You could contend that Norman Borlaug was a pyramid schemer, that he created a Ponzi. And the Ponzi involved human population. And ultimately, that bubble was going to pop. Now, I know some of you think we can have 1 billion people in Texas. And I'm telling you that if you believe that, then you probably believe we can have 1 billion snakehead fish in Lake Michigan. Or 1 billion Bengal tigers in India. You can't. Okay, if you're an apex predator, you need so much biomass below you in order to survive. And no amount of smartphones or electric cars or fucking fracking for shale oil changes any of that. In fact, all those things make the situation worse. Because if a gray wolf needs 10 square miles of habitable land, guess what a gray wolf doesn't have? A cell phone, a laptop, okay? It doesn't have a car. It doesn't expect to have health care. It doesn't expect to ever go to fucking university. All of those things require energy. Oh, shit. Sorry. They require resources. Anyways, I think the shit is hitting the fan, folks, and I think that food may be the first thing. This whole impeachment trial looks like more smoke and mirrors bullshit to keep people's eyes off the ball. It's sort of like, you know, hey, American people, look at the World Wrestling Federation. Look at Trump. He's being impeached. Holy shit, Nancy Pelosi. Holy fuck. Will Hillary run in 2020? It is the year of the clown, folks. You know Dr. Freckles is running. It means I gotta go to clown phase next year or die. Yes, Dr. Freckles will be running in 2020. It's the year of the clown. I was there before the Joker. I was the ancient clown of the Gimlet sect. We worshiped the rocks and the stones, the trees and the bees. We lived in the jungle places and the swamps. Yeah. I don't know what this whole fucking impeachment is about. I really don't. I don't know if it's real. I don't know if it's a cover. To me, it could be all of the above. And it's even possible that Trump, you know, given how smart the CIA is about mind control and manipulation, it's even possible that Trump has essentially been inside of a puzzle box. Now, let me explain what a puzzle box is. A puzzle box is a make-believe set of behaviors in your environment that you don't know about, but impact your behavior. For example, imagine if every day before you got in your car and went to work, imagine if I went outside your house and put up little, you know, road signs and flashing signs and basically blocked the direction you'll normally use to go to work. And I do this. I don't do it every day, but I do it intermittently, enough that it becomes fucking annoying. And I specifically focus it on you, which means that once you've made your decision, I take the obstacles away. That's an example of a puzzle box. And the CIA has used puzzle boxes, along with every other spy agency, forever. I mean, you could argue this is a You know, in the world of the fucking espionage douchebags, they talk about what do they call it? Tradecraft. This is tradecraft going back to ancient times. And some people will also call this gang stalking, but that's not what I'm talking about. This isn't gang stalking. This is a puzzle box. It's possible that President Trump has been in a puzzle box since day one. In fact, it's possible that he's been in a puzzle box most of his life. So sure, from his perspective, he might actually believe his bullshit, and frankly, in many ways, that makes the whole thing better. But what I am telling you is that I do not believe that the whole thing is true. Like this whole fucking impeachment thing is a real thing, or whether it is just intended, as all magicians love to do, to take your eyes off the hands, to not see what the hands are doing. But I will say this, if it is a real thing, then I think Trump is playing this well. And yeah, a lot of really nasty shit could get declassified. And in all this mess, no matter what Trump's IRS tax returns look like, I don't believe there's going to be anything there to be very sh that would be very shocking. Nobody really has illusions about who Donald Trump is. I think in the great tidal wave of shit that would come with a release of all these documents, most of it would stick probably to the Democratic Party. They were the last party in power. They were the party that more or less cemented George Bush's foreign policy. It's why today, to this day, it's like if you say, "Oh, we're leaving Syria and we're abandoning the Kurds. We're abandoning the Kurds." Holy shit, we can't abandon the Kurds. Well, I don't know. We've abandoned the Rwandans. We've abandoned, other groups over time. I mean, I don't know why we couldn't abandon them too. Lots of people get killed throughout history. I'm not really sure what makes the Kurds special, except for they were made special by Papa Bush, George Herbert Walker Bush, right? The president after Reagan. They were basically made into a CIA thing, the fucking Kurds. They were the orphan Annie, the little fucking orphan Annie of the fucking Persian Gulf and Near East. Okay, every time people would say to themselves, maybe we shouldn't have military over there, you just pull out the fucking Kurds. But these people are murderers. They kill Christians. They are mostly communists, and frankly, they're 100% CIA and Israeli. Okay, so even if there's such a thing as a Kurdistan, and I don't know if there is, hey, there is such a thing as Ireland, you Kurd fuck. Can we go retake Northern Ireland from Great Britain before we go and build you Kurdistan? All my Irish brothers and sisters would love it, you fuck. Yeah, anyways, I don't know what this is about, this whole impeachment thing, but it could be, again, 100% make believe. Like Trump saying we're going to withdraw from Syria. I really don't know if we're actually going to withdraw from Syria. And I have no way of verifying it. I really don't. I really don't. It's like what's going on in Iraq right now. If you read the news that doesn't get shown on CNN, the situation in Iraq is pretty fucking bad. Which means that we could see a kind of, Vietnam airlift scenario, fall of Saigon scenario in Baghdad within the next year. That's how bad things are getting in Iraq. And whatever or whoever is helping the Houthis in Yemen, they seem to be doing pretty well against the Saudis, which also may imply that Saudi society, from a structural standpoint, from a stability standpoint, might be a lot softer than most people realize. I gotta tell you, the Saudi kingdom has some pretty shitty fucking leaders. Okay? Ours are pretty bad. Theirs are fucking terrible. They do terrible shit. They torture people, they rape people, they fucking kill and murder and behead and steal. I think there are a lot of people in Saudi Arabia who are not big fans of the ruling family. So, yeah, the situation around the world right now is pretty crazy, and this whole impeachment thing, it could just be bullshit. Just entertainment. Don't look at the hands. And please, as we all know on the Little Saigon Report, ignore the pillars of smoke in the distance. Next topic, panic over the snakehead. And I feel like I need a pipe organ for this. Panic about the snakehead. What are we gonna do about the fucking snakehead? We all know it'll be a great tragedy. Hey, honey, you wanna go fishing next week? Why, sure, I'd love to go fishing. Where do you want to go? I'd like to go to Lake Peaches. It's not far from Atlanta. Well, sure, honey. We'll just get in our car and go to Lake Peaches. Okay, time to wake up. Let's go. Wow, this is a great drive to Lake Peaches. I'm so happy to be going fishing with you. Hey, honey, do you need help getting the boat in the water? Okay. Hey, what's that over there? Okay, yeah, it's nothing. It's weird, we've been out here for a couple hours fishing and we haven't caught anything. And they're out there fishing. They're fishing for hours. They're fishing on Lake Peaches. Not too far from Atlanta, Lake Peaches is known for its largemouth bass, it's big old blue cats, it's got bluegills and perch, it's got a walleye. But our couple, our happy couple, our happy newly married couple, still in their honeymoon phase, our happy married, newly married honeymoon phase couple, they're not catching any fish on Lake Peaches this morning. Hey, honey, you want to go back in? I mean, do you think we'll catch something if we stay out here longer? Okay. Hey, what's that over there? What's that, honey? Oh my God, honey, there's a whole bunch. What are those things moving towards the boat? There's hundreds of them. Oh God, honey, they're getting on the boat. They're grabbing me. They're pulling me in. And the young married couple fighting as desperately as they can, totally being anti-gun, so neither one has a pistol. If they'd had a pistol, like, a Glock 19 with a 30-round mag, those things are awesome. I had one, a 32-round mag with my Glock 19 naval special. If they had a Glock 19 with hollow points with 30 rounds, they would have gotten back to shore fine. They would have been able to warn the town of the snakehead fish. They would have been able to warn the town of the Lake Peaches being infested with snakehead that could no longer find food because they ate all the food. Because one of the snakehead told another snakehead, dude, I read this article from the Cato Institute that said you can have 1 billion people in Texas. So the snakeheads figured if you can have 1 billion humans in Texas, and given the fact that humans are the apex predators on planet Earth, meaning we kill everything, we've got the fucking hydrogen bomb, you fuck. If you don't want to say we kill everything, the only thing we can't kill is God. Or probably angels. But other than that, we pretty much kill everything. Yeah, the snakeheads read the article from Cato about how you can have 1 billion people in Texas and you can stack humans everywhere. Doesn't matter. You can just dump garbage everywhere. Yeah, they read that article, and so they decided to invade Georgia and hang out at Lake Peaches. I mentioned the snakehead thing because this is an issue that's come up since the early 90s. The urban legend is the following. The northern snakehead fish is considered a ceremonial animal. That's a nice way of putting it, amongst a lot of Asian people. And there is a ceremony, at least as I understand it, of buying a northern snakehead and then releasing it. Now, of course, I don't want to get into religious practice or the sanity of people. I'm a Christian. A lot of people don't think I'm sane because I'm a Christian. So I don't know if I want to talk about people's religious beliefs about fish. But what I will say is this. The northern snakehead, which is dangerous, and the southern snakehead, which is horrible, which to my knowledge is not here yet. If we had the southern snakehead in the United States, it would, like so many nasty creatures, it would probably end up in Florida first. You know, so I expect within a few years to read articles about the southern snakehead. Now, the southern snakehead gets huge. Like, it can weigh hundreds of pounds, I think, or at least definitely near 100 pounds. It can kill people, or at least small kids. At least that's the legend. The northern snakehead probably doesn't threaten people, as my story did. And also, one of those sci-fi movie channel movies from the 90s, I think it was called Snakehead Terror, or Snakehead, Lake Snakehead, or Lakehead, I don't know. The northern snakehead does not threaten people, but here are some facts. It can live out of the water for a while. It can actually attack animals out of the water. Okay, one fact about the northern snakehead. This is true of both snakeheads. They can live out of the water for a while. Okay, which means they can crawl from one pond to the next. If they eat all the food in one pond, they can just hop on over to the next. They are extremely aggressive. And the bottom line is this. Any lake in North America that you put a northern snakehead fish in, that snakehead fish will immediately, without passing go, without collecting $200, that snakehead fish in any northern lake, and I don't care if there's muskie and pike in that lake, that northern snakehead becomes the number one predator in that lake instantaneously. And when I say number one predator, we need to put this in perspective. We're not talking about some Gentile noble creature that, you know, goes forth and only takes from nature what it needs. We're talking about a fish. We're talking about a fish that, in many ways, is not unlike us. It is extremely aggressive in how it takes things over. It's extremely aggressive in fucking and feeding. So anyways, I don't want to spend too much time on this. A person on Minds had posted an article about the northern snakehead being found in Georgia. Let's see if I can't just grab this link really quick. And we'll take a look at it together. Together as friends. Together as friends. Together as friends to the very end. Yabba dabba doo. Yeah, kill it immediately. So basically, a release from the Georgia Department of Natural Resources urges anglers and fishermen to be on the lookout for the northern snakehead. It was reported to the Department of Natural Resources back in early October after an angler reported catching a northern snakehead in a pond located on private property in Gwinnett County. The DNR says this is the first time this fish species has been confirmed in Georgia waters. Now, here's what I will say. I think the northern snakehead has been in Virginia for a while. Like, I think it's actually been in the Chesapeake. And they're trying to get it under control, but I think it's pretty much there. Okay, so I'm not going to read more of this article, but it basically, this recently happened, blah, 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 snakeheads, blah, blah, blah. You know, here's how anglers can help, identify, dispose, blah, blah, blah. Do not release it, kill it, freeze it, take pictures if you can, note where it was caught, blah, blah, blah. Yeah, I think we beat the snakehead to death. Next topic. Oh boy, this is a serious one. Which means no pipe organ, no organ. Okay, so some of you may know, and if you're an atheist, trigger alert, I guess, these days is what the kids want. You know, I'm going to talk about God here for a second. Maybe not for long. I'm going to try not to, because I know a lot of you people get freaked out about God. Some of my listeners are okay with it. Some of you probably get freaked out about God. You don't worry about Wong's old style Panda Express, but you don't like God. I have been really stressed out. Not stressed out. That's not the right word. It's not stress. I have been circumspect, a bit sort of dour, maybe overly serious. Maybe I've been on hold. I don't know. I've been in a weird place vis-a-vis my faith in the last couple months. And part of this is related to being baptized. Which, I gotta tell you, listen, I was baptized when I was, whatever, 1 year old. I was also circumcised. Both of those rituals seem like satanic rituals to me in retrospect. That's how I feel about circumcision. That's how I feel about the Catholic Church. Whatever I was baptized into under the papacy, I don't think it has anything to do with Jesus. Now, that doesn't mean there aren't Christians who are Catholic. I think there probably are. But I also think that church as a whole, and especially Rome, probably has nothing to do with God. Probably has everything to do with Roman pagan culture and nothing to do with God. But here's what's about me. I have been scared to ask God a question that I think every Christian ends up asking God, and I have been scared to ask him, especially in the last few months, especially since the baptism. Because I felt like, you know, one of the things I felt, and again, I'm not saying God talks to Dan. You know, in my opinion, God probably talks to everybody. Are people listening? I don't know. I see them staring at their fucking smart devices. You tell me. If they're listening. But I think God talks to people. I think God talks to everybody. And I think God a few months ago said, Dan, I will let you sojourn as long as you need to, but you need to understand this. The time for unleavened bread, the time for the basic, simple meal that you make, because everybody's got to leave Egypt tomorrow. That time is not that far in the distance. The time that you need to be prepared for is coming, so you need to get off your ass. If you're part of my kingdom, you need to fucking get off your ass and participate. That's been one of my messages from God in the last year. And it's why I decided to get baptized. In a lot of ways, I rushed it because I essentially felt at the time, if I didn't do it then, it wasn't going to happen. And yeah, that's how bad I think things could get. That's how bad the situation is, in my opinion. I know a lot of you folks, you want somebody to tell you everything's going to be okay, and you think that makes life better. I used to beat up on my dad because he could be a mean and frankly really negative guy. But I look back upon, you know, how he treated me and my brother, and I sometimes think maybe he was teaching us some lessons too. And when I say negative, from the perspective of people that knew my dad publicly, he always seemed like a really great guy. It's just that he had his own personal touch with me and my brother. Separate topic. Anyways, there is one question I have a hard time asking Jesus right now, and I want to ask the question, and maybe I'll do it tomorrow, but that's how I've been phrasing it the last month. Maybe I'll do it tomorrow. It's kind of like, hey, I'm going to drink beer and vape weed and listen to Pink Floyd every single fucking day until the world splits in two. And that's kind of where I ended up in late 2016, you know, just after the election, is I was basically in the space of, fuck it. I am just going to meander through this bullshit reality until everything is done. Okay? The current existence, the current society, whatever the fuck you want to call it, is way past its shelf life. Okay, if you got a nose, if you can smell, you can smell that it's rotten. Now, that doesn't tell me what's coming. It doesn't tell me that there's something better. It could be worse. It could be a lot worse, actually. But that actually implies that I should kind of, to the best of my ability, to the best of my resources, live it up a little, right? I mean, that's kind of one of the messages here. You know, why not just take it easy? Because I don't really see myself as having a high likelihood of survival past day zero. Wrong demographic, wrong age, wrong philosophy. I don't really want to go out there and murder people. And I hate to break it to you, but if you want to survive what's coming, you're probably going to have to kill somebody. Oh, fuck. I just said it. You'll probably find yourself in a situation where it's going to be between you or harming somebody else. Maybe you'll be lucky. Maybe you will. People end up lucky. But I don't see myself as being that lucky. So there's been one question. And I'm running out of time, so I'll probably have to ask it tomorrow. There's one question I haven't been able to ask God, and that is, what do you want me to do? And why have I been afraid to ask that question? It's really fucking simple. Because I don't want to have the burden. I don't. I don't want to... I would just assume go into what's coming like most people and just get hit by the wave and fine and, you know, and toodle-ee, toodle-la, and here today, gone tomorrow. That is kind of how I look at things right now. But if you make an obligation to God, if God seems like he's telling you to do something to help somebody, and I'm not talking about special things here, folks. This isn't special. This is actually something every Christian, if you're actually a Christian, and I'm sorry for putting it that way, but if you're really a Christian, this is something every Christian goes through, asking this essential question, Lord in heaven, what is it you want me to do? Where do you want me to go? How am I supposed to help? If you ask that question, you might not get an immediate answer. It might not even be an answer that's easy to interpret. On the other hand, if you ask that question, you might wake up the next day and literally be hit in the face by something that changes your life. And yeah, it probably won't be, hello, I'm the angel Gabriel. Here's a message from God. That's not what I'm talking about, folks. I'm talking about, to the best of my ability, we can call them strange occurrences, spooky occurrences. What Carl Gustav Jung once referred to as synchronicity. These things happen, and yeah, there is a secular interpretation, and there is a spiritual or religious interpretation. I am going to give you the religious interpretation. If you reach out to the Lord in heaven, and you say, Lord in heaven, tell me what you want me to do, it's entirely plausible that you could wait your whole life and then come to realize that you've been doing exactly what the Lord's been wanting you to do, period. Like, all the Lord in heaven was really saying was, keep doing what you're doing. But if you're like me, and you spent most of your life as an atheist, and you really haven't amounted to a whole lot, and you say to God, you know, I'm your fucking shitty servant, and that's true, I feel like a shitty servant, what do you want of me? Be careful. That's why I take this seriously. It was like the baptism. I was shaking really bad during the baptism. And it wasn't just because of some kind of nervousness. It was something else. And what I'm going to tell you is I am concerned about saying this prayer because this is not the prayer. This is me podcasting. This is me bloviating. This is me acting like a jackass. I don't know if God approves of it, but my assumption is if God didn't approve of it, he would have put up more stumbling blocks. So let's just say he might be 50-50. This is not a prayer. I will have to say to the Lord in heaven, tell me what you want me to do, and then be prepared for the possibility that I am not doing what he wants me to do, and he will literally put something right in front of me, right then and there. Maybe the next day, maybe the next week. And then all I can say is, Lord in heaven, give me the courage and give me the strength to do that, to do the thing you want me to do. I'm going to check the time on the recording here, because it feels like we're getting close to the end. In fact, maybe we'll call this the end. I don't think there's anything wrong with that. There's no law against it, people. There's no law against determining the end, the Doors. You know, Jim Morrison. They had a song about the end. We all know about that. So let me end it again in a certain kind of way. If you're out there and you enjoy my podcast, if you're out there and you have resources and you've already taken care of your gold, your silver, your ammo, your water purification, you have dried goods, you have rice, dried rice, and dried beans for 20 years. You have over 600 MREs. You have 25,000 rounds of 9mm. And you've taken care of your family, all of your family. Is with you on your compound in Arkansas. If you have taken care of everything you need to take care of, if there's no one in your life that needs your help, if both of those statements are true, and you have plenty of resources, and in addition to the above two statements, A and B, C, you enjoy my podcast, there is a link to donate using Venmo on my SoundCloud homepage. I'll also probably include the same link in the description of this podcast on SoundCloud. And yeah, I can use your support. I'm not going to lie to you, okay? I currently have the resources to make it till May of 2020. In all likelihood, I'll probably work another programming project sometime in January, assuming the world is not on fire. But if you have the resources and you want to help out and you want to fulfill my dream before the end of the world, which is to basically, be listener supported as, National Dan Radio of the Dr. Freckles Global Tontine Club Network. If you want to support that, I really don't need a ton of money. I just need more listeners. One way to support is to, word of mouth, send out emails, tell people about my podcast. That'll help. Another way to help is to donate money. That can help. And just keep listening. But in general, the reason why I'm doing this is someone asked me, said, "Dan, you need to do this at the end of your podcast periodically." So yeah, I'm begging for money. But the fact is, right now, I have the resources to make it past January, and from my perspective, that might as well be till the end of the world. So on that note, I'd like to remind you of something. Don't forget to go down to Wong's Old Style Panda Express tomorrow night. Remember, two pandas for under 30 bucks. I usually get my panda Szechuan style. I know that my girlfriend Petunia likes the orange style, the orange panda. She thinks it's a very tangy sauce at Wong's Old Style Panda Express. And on that note, I just want to say, have a great rest of your Thursday and feel good about your brain case and your connection to your sphincter. Try to eat some vegetables, clean your system out, avoid the germs, which are everywhere, and watch the skies, because I promise you, over the coming days and weeks, you're going to see some shit. It's going to freak you out.